Let's pray and then we'll have a look at what we're going to look at today. Father God, thank you that we as your people come to hear you speak, and we hear you speak through your word. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to enable us to hear and see what God has to say to us. And we pray this through Jesus our Saviour. Amen. Okay. Well, today, last few weeks, we've been looking at the concept of irresistible. We looked at irresistible find, we looked at the irresistible community, now we're looking at irresistible hope. So we're going to look at Revelations, which is a tricky book. Now, we're not going to study every aspect of Revelations, not today, that's going to be a little bit tricky. And you bought a packed lunch, that's good. And we're going to look at it again next week as well. So maybe if you have a Bible with you or a device and you believe that the Word of God is important, then please turn and find Revelations chapter 4. Revelations is the last book of the Bible, so it is the easiest book to find in your paper Bible.
Genesis.
Genesis is just as easy. In fact, it's easier. So just find that. Just put your finger on chapter 4. I don't know why that keeps on going spatter, spatter. So doesn't like me. You don't think it's me?
No, he doesn't seem to like us.
Be this, would it? Oh, okay. That. Very good. Okay, so you're on Revelations chapter 4, then we're going to move to 17 and then 18 later on. So just hold that there. But before we get there, I just want you to think for a moment about life. I want you to think, if your life was a fish and you were born in a fish tank, and every day you experienced the same thing over and over again. Every day, every experience would be very much the same. In fact, you wouldn't even know a life any different than your life in the fish tank or the fish bowl. Be an exciting life, you'd always be swimming, be pretty active, going around circles. You would look, to everyone, look like you're having a lot of fun. But I want you to stop and think. I want you to stop and think about your actual life today. And in a sense, we are all born into this world. And we swim around in it every day. And this life we swim in is both beautiful, because it's been created by God, and broken. Every day we swim around in the same fishbowl. And we might have a big smile on our face, we might look happy, but we're actually swimming around in the same old, same old. Every day we experience the good and bad of life. We experience the joy and happiness, along with the brokenness, the hurt and the pain. And as we swim around trying to live each day, trying to live for the moment. Why? Because we know we're going to die. That's the reality. So we swim around in this culture that immerses us with all these realities of life, realities of things that we grow up with, all these things. Often our fish tank has lots of fake objects to try and distract us, no different than your normal fish tank has all those fake plastic things, make them feel like they're in the sea, makes them feel like they're really having the life that they've been possibly meant to have. So we swim around in this culture, immersed with all these realities, and we have things in our life that make us feel comfortable and safe, like in the real fish tank. Places where we can hide and pretend, oh look, I'm really in the sea. Just like, you know, those plastic corals or plastic little things they have in the fish tanks. And as we swim around, could it be that we're actually afraid, as we swim around in our world, we're afraid to actually think for a moment. That we don't want to think too hard and deep about our situation. But if that is true, how can we live with hope? If what we swim around in is just everything we're immersed in, how can we swim around with hope? Well, we have a few options to help us deal with that we come up with from time to time as a culture. We could ignore what's happening and hope things will just work out in the end, sort of have a bit of a false hope. Get distracted with all our fun plastic distractions, things that make us feel like we're having a real life. Maybe live for the now, not think too much about all the realities of life, not think too much about all the possible bad things that are happening, happening. Maybe create our own imaginative fish tank world. You know, try to swim the most of our 80 plus years in this fish tank of life. Swim around, maybe feeling you're important in your little fish tank of the world, feeling that you're needed in the fish tank. But maybe as you look at life and you see the realities of life, you swim around the fish tank in anxiety and despair. You see no way forward. You realise that you're swimming around in the same story over and over and over again. Nothing seems to improve. Nothing seems to get better in our world. Nothing really changes in our world apart from a few updated plastic distractions. Maybe you're trying to drown it out. Take some drugs, take some alcohol, try to feel happy, try to avoid thinking about the realities, try to take yourself out of the fish tank life, try to escape it completely, and some actually do escape it completely by taking their own life. If we honestly looked around at our world and life, we are swimming in this fish tank, this fish bowl, and we don't even know it. And we really struggle to find real lasting hope. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want my life to be something more than just a fish tank moment. I don't want my life to be limited to the fish bowl I'm swimming in. Because if I do, I can't possibly swim with any kind of hope. I want my life to be swimming around with hope. And the good news is that with Jesus, we have a voice that speaks to us. A voice that speaks from outside our fish tank world. And we have a God who exists outside our world that we swim in. And the good news is that when God speaks into our world, he gives us the exact hope we need. So today we'll be pointing to the hope that we have in Jesus as we read Revelations. And we're going to get there. It seems like a long time, doesn't it? But the question is, are you willing to hear what God has to say? As you're swimming this morning in this culture, in this fishbowl, are you willing to hear what God has to say? So Revelations is a book that's written to God's people to give them hope, to give them hope in a broken world. This is a story where God remakes his broken world. There's a great book, if you want to read it, it's called Christopher Ashe. It's called Remaking the Broken World. And it's a story where everything, not the book, but Revelation is a story where everything is made right with God, where God rules. It's a place of life and purity of God's rule in the end, and a place where death is no longer. That's the story of Revelations. So today, as we open up God's Word, let us pay attention to what Jesus has to say, because this book is to give us hope. Now, Revelations uses apocalyptic language, which may be hard to understand, but it's symbolic. It conveys a message. He heard this vision and he records it for us in this sort of symbolic language. And so we have a story in Revelations of two cities and two kinds of relationships. You're going to have to excuse me if I sniff. I've mowed the lawn yesterday and there's something really special about humanity is that you really think that you're better than what you are, and you really think that if I mow it today I won't get hay fever for some reason, and what do you know, you do. That's just something about being human, I think. So Revelations, like I said, is apocalyptic language, symbolizing language. And Revelations describes a story of two cities, a tale of two cities and two kinds of relationship. And so we have one picture of a city, and it's a city where humanity throws out and rejects God. And the other is a city where God dwells and welcomes sinners. Revelation describes two kinds of relationships. One relationship is a virgin bride who has chosen not to defile herself. And the other is a relationship of a prostitute. Very contrast, aren't they? The prostitute is one who defiles herself with idolatry and is unfaithful. So these are symbolic concepts. Okay, so if you can get that in your mindset. So those who are faithful to God, that's his bride, that's the church, that's what it's called in the New Testament. Those that are unfaithful to God, they are the ones who are defiled. They are connected to the prostitute, that's a relationship with another god, they enter idolatry. Does that make sense? But these cities are in complete opposite to each other, and they're symbolic. And one is for God, and one loves God. The other is against God and has no interest in God. So points. That dropped out. 3 points in Revelations 4. So there is a slide up at the back. Roger, you might have to go and grab that. It was not up there yet. So it's on 3 bars. But you want to just give me the hand mic? Yeah, you want to just give me a hand mic? Someone got a hand mic? You must have a hand mic. Thank you. That's all right.
Okay, does that sound better? Okay, that's good. Okay, so we've got 3 points from Revelations 4, 17 and 18. 3 points. So they should be up on the board now. Excellent. No worries. You got my little fish tank. It's a bit of a lonely world in that fish tank. It's a big fish in a little tank. So the 3 points we're going to look at today is our God is seated outside our fishbowl. It's very fishbowl based. The fishbowl city of no hope, so that's our second point. And the third point is our fishbowl city has an ending. Now at the end of this, I want you to see a glimpse of God's glory and hope beyond our fishbowl. And in Revelation 21, we actually get to see that, which we've read today. And next week, we're going to read and study that a bit more. So it's Revelation 21. So the first point is that God is seated outside the fishbowl. Okay, so as we experience life in a broken world, in our fish tank world, the good news is that we have a God that is outside of our world. There is a God who is able to speak with all authority into our story. And this is great news. Hearing God speak allows us to see beyond our fishbowl, okay, beyond our world. There is a God who is able to speak with all authority into our current story. And this is great news because hearing God speak allows us to see beyond our fish tank world. We see God is the one who created us. Jesus is claimed to be the God who created us. And our God stepped into our fishbowl. If you think about that, Jesus came. The whole Christmas story points about God coming to dwell amongst us. So Jesus came to reveal to us God and to reveal us life outside the fishbowl. The one reason Jesus came, one reason among many, is that we needed hope. So we swim around in a hopeless fishbowl and we don't even realise that something better exists. So as we swim in our brokenness, it can seem often like God is distant. Okay, it seems like God is uninvolved. But when we hear what God has to say, we actually see that he is involved. So let's read Revelations 4, 1 to 3. After this I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne, and he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow, that had the appearance of emerald. God is the one who is seated on the throne. See, God's throne is not empty. That means our God is involved in our world. That means there is hope for us, hope for you and me. Even though we may think often that God is distant, God is uninvolved, God is seated on his kingdom throne with all power and authority. And I don't think that's doing much. Maybe a little bit better. If Jesus is divine judge and king of the universe, then all people are accountable to him. So regardless of how things may appear, how broken things are, how evil our world may seem, God is not absent. God is not absent, but rather he is actively involved. He is seated on the throne. That's a description of a king in charge. So because behind all the chaos that we see, and there is chaos in our world, and it can seem chaotic, there is God who is seated in all power and authority. But here is what, when the rubber hits the road, because if God is seated in all power and authority, why is our world in chaos? Why do we continually swim in brokenness, the same brokenness over and over and over again? Why doesn't God fix our fish tank world? Well, here's our second point. We live in a city of no hope. Revelation 17, 1 to 6. We'll read that in a second. Like a good doctor, God wants to first give us a reality check. God reveals to us why we feel the hopelessness of life. It's because our fish tank world has no hope. We live in a city that God declares will come to an end. And now that can be hard to swallow. But we need to listen to what God has to say. Why listen to God? Because he's seated on the throne. He's above and beyond our fishbowl world. God in his love explains to us why our world has brokenness, corruption and evil. God reveals to us the two cities and the two kinds of citizens. You are either a citizen of one or a citizen of the other. Now, I want to define citizenship to where you actually live. Because so you can be a citizen of somewhere but still live somewhere different, can't you? Let's hear God describe the first city, Revelations 17. There'll be a few pages on from chapter 4. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great prostitute who is seated on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality, and with the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers of earth have become drunk. And he carried me away in the spirit in a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was full of blasphemous names, and it had seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the impurities of her sexual immorality. And on her forehead was written a name of mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of prostitutes and earth's abominations. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus." And in verse 18, just a little bit further down, reads, "And the woman that you saw is the great city that has dominion over the kings of the earth." So God reveals this first city's name. It's Babylon. The names date back way back to the Old Testament, way back in Genesis chapter 11. This is where humanity built a great temple, a great tower. They believed that they could unify and become a great nation, and God scattered those people. They wanted to make a great name for themselves. And actually, within all this, there was a unified arrogance of human achievement to say, we can do everything without God. We can do everything without God. And our culture and our world has been doing exactly the same thing ever since, except for now it's a little bit difficult to do it unified because of language. But that's being overcome a little bit. It's where celebrities and atheists promote the religion of we can do everything without God. You don't need God. So it's a city where God is thrown out. Whereas Babylon, it is the fish tank that we swim in. It's our culture. It's our world. Revelation is saying, don't be lured into this world. Don't be lured into this Babylon. One of the challenges we have as Christians is thinking that our nation was Christian. I think we've got to be careful not to be lured into the thinking that our nation used to be a Christian nation. Our nation had some good moments of Christian influence. That's all it is. We've had some good moments, some good times of Christian influence in Babylon. That's it. We still live in Babylon. God describes this city as a great prostitute. It's symbolic language, once again. Because those who are its citizens, those who belong to it in citizenship, go to bed with her. It's all symbolic. Those who join themselves to this prostitute are the ones who are unfaithful to God. Does that make sense? They reject God's love and rule, just like a person in a marriage relationship goes and joins himself with a prostitute. They're becoming unfaithful to the one they should be. They're becoming unfaithful. They promote and commit and live everything that opposes to God. And not only that, they're out, or she's out, or they're out. Babylon is out to stop the gospel and stop God's people speaking into their rebellion. This is a symbolic city of Babylon. Its citizens believe and drink from a fountain of false hopes. I don't know about you, but you can see that, can't we? The promise of life. The life of self-pleasure and self-gratification. That's what our culture and world is speaking to us. Does it sound familiar? Does it sound like the fishbowl that we swim in? Those who love and lust after Babylon are intoxicated with what she offers. This is what our current world and culture offers. This is what we live in. And the biggest idol we have today is the idea that we are God. We are to pursue life and take whatever we want. We are free to make our own rules because we are God. No one can tell us anything different. No one can tell us how to live because we are God. John is writing and describing this city as a prostitute to warn us. Don't fall into her ways of temptation. We live in Babylon. We swim in Babylon, but don't belong to her. Don't be lured to join her in bed. Symbolic, once again. Symbolic of spiritual idolatry. Flee from her and remain faithful to God. Philippians 3:20, which you read out, says we are citizens in heaven because of Christ. So as we are swimming, we are called to see what Babylon is. This idolatry replaces God with us. It replaces God's glory with our own glory. And you'd be surprised how well it's sneaking into probably your own life. This idea of being a prostitute is symbolic language of rejecting the God who loves us. And because you become like her, or like Babylon, unfaithful, uncommitted, drunk with lust, that's what you become. The result is not life but death and judgment. God holds Babylon's citizens accountable. The city fishbowl we swim in is Babylon, and it has no lasting hope. Do you feel that when you swim in it? You see, it's hard to know you are swimming in dirty water if it's the only place you've ever swum. But God's saying this in love. He's speaking outside the fish tank. Where you swim every day has no lasting hope. Unless you hear God speak from out the fishbowl. Which brings us to our third point. So what does God say about Babylon? He said a few things there. Babylon, our first fishbowl, will come to an end. That's our third point. The end result is not fulfilling pleasure, but horrific destruction. It won't last. This destruction is near, so flee from her. Now, this is written thousands of years ago. So once again, it's symbolic. The story of the first city has an ending. Let's read Revelations 18, 1 to 3, and then verses 9 to 10. Verses 1 to 3. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast." Once again, very symbolic language. "For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passions of her sexual immorality," which is idolatry, "and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the sea have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then verses 9 to 10. "And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.'" Symbolic language of the end. Babylon will fall. It will be no more. God's judgment has come and it's all over. But the good news is that we have hope if we belong to Jesus. We can swim in hope because in Jesus we are citizens of God's kingdom. Yet as we live and swim, we grieve for our current city. We grieve for Babylon. We grieve for the hopelessness it offers. We grieve for the people in it. How sad to read that all, as this city falls into judgment, its citizens' hopes and securities vanish. You can look this up in 11 to 24. It continues on. But they all vanish. But verse 14 says this: "Fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost, never to be found again. Those that love her are left empty and weeping." What our hearts believe would bring joy and happiness fail and are taken away. It leaves our souls thirsty, leaves our souls empty, because that's life without Jesus. That's life without hope. That's life without God. Is this God's fault? It sort of looks like that, doesn't it? Looks like God's the big meanie. But when you shake your fist at God's rule, we place ourselves in a very fearful place. See, it's our heart's issue, not God. It's because we love Babylon rather than God. We love swimming in the fish tank that Babylon offers us. Stop and ask yourself the question: is this the city I want to live for, Babylon? Is this the city I want to be a member of? Babylon. A city of no hope. A relationship that ends with emptiness. A city that has no place for God, so God in the end has no place for it. Do you hear the warnings? Don't be fooled by its lure. How do we respond to what Jesus is saying? How do we respond to what God is saying to us this morning? Well, if we are listening, we need to know that we can't put our hope in the fishbowl we're swimming in. We can't do that. We can't place our hope in a world that's coming to an end. We need to resist its offer of fake hope. It's been sold to us every day. Every day it's been sold to you and me. You will find real life here. You don't need Jesus. You don't need God to have life. But everything will leave you empty. Everything will leave you with no hope. There's many good causes happening in our city of Babylon. In our culture, in our world, many good causes, many good things they're trying to do. And they're good things we can celebrate about. But they don't offer us any real hope. They're simply temporal things. Our culture, our world is trying to put band-aids on broken legs, and it's not working. Because its existence is temporal, and it doesn't live in God's city. That's why we can never be satisfied. We have everything, and we have nothing, because God is absent. We keep swimming in the same fishbowl, believing things will change, and they don't. We still have wars, we still have violence, we still have terrorism, we still have sickness, we still have disease, we still have brokenness, over and over and over again. And they keep on repeating the same movies, sorry. That's how bored we are. We can't even create new Spider-Mans. Can't even create anything but Spider-Man anyway, off the topic. Keep on doing the same thing over and over again. It doesn't change. We clearly need to put our trust in God. We need to trust in Jesus because he is our hope. And we have hope in the city that he has promised to come. Through Jesus, we become citizens of that city. Through Jesus, we are healed of our guilt and shame that we have incurred from Babylon. But Jesus deals with it. Jesus deals with it on the cross. I wonder which city you really live for. Because you can sort of feel that pressure of our culture. It's saying, conform to our city. You can soon tell when things are stripped away, when you lose things, when the satisfaction and hope is gone that you trusted in. And you left feeling that emptiness. You left feeling hopeless. You know, our lives mourn because we believed our career was going to give us hope and it doesn't. We believed our relationships were going to give us satisfaction and they don't. We believed success was the key point of life and we didn't get it. Or when we got it, it meant nothing. Or we think sex is our hope and we look for pleasure and still find ourselves unsatisfied. We are left empty. We are left unsatisfied. And yet we keep on swimming in the same waters. We keep on hoping things will get better. Now, if this was the only city to life, we would have no hope. We would be swimming around in circles. We would be swimming in vain. But the reality is we are born into this city, but God offers us a better city. It's hard to see past the environment we swim in, but God does speak to us. You know, there's a saying, if you want to know what water is like, you don't ask a fish. Why? Because fish are so immersed in water that it knows nothing outside of its water. The fish needs to get outside of the fishbowl to see a bigger picture. And it's the same way with us in our fishbowl. We swim in a culture, we swim in Babylon. And so we need God to speak into us as we swim. We need to hear him speak. We need to have God speak his story of hope to our story. And the good news is that this is God's story. And that the city of Babylon is not the only city. There is a greater city that is not of this world. Jesus said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. Let's hear God introduce his city. And once again, very symbolic language. We read it already. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. You know, God speaks to him in our broken world. He speaks into our broken world, and he speaks saying, it's coming to an end, our fish tank. But there is a better story, a better hope, which is God's city. And we're going to read about that more next week. But as we sort of close for today, the question may be, how do I become a citizen of God's kingdom? A citizen of God's city. Well, the answer is Jesus. As you see this morning, everything pointed to Jesus. Jesus came and died for us who were trapped in Babylon, trapped in sin, trapped in shame. Jesus freed us from our fishbowl city of no hope, and he delivers us to a place of hope. He delivers us from a place of destruction to a place of eternal hope in Jesus. And he makes us citizens of that city. Jesus brings us away from that unfaithful relationship we may have with all the things our culture would offer into a loving relationship with him. I want to ask you the question, does your life have Jesus as your hope? Does your life have Jesus as your king? Is Jesus, do you see Jesus as the one who's seated on the throne in your life? Now, if we know that our fish tank world has no offer, and if we know that Jesus speaks into our world a message of hope, then we need to be telling others about Jesus so they too can have hope. As they're swimming around in circles, we can give them hope of a city to come. Today, let us hear what God is saying to our hearts. When we are wrestling, when we're anxious, when we see and look at our broken world in conflict and despair, let us hear God's story, a story of hope. Let us know that it's because we are swimming inside this fish tank of brokenness that there's a why to everything. There's a why to why it's broken. It's Babylon. There's a why to why it feels so tense to be a Christian. Because Babylon is doing everything possible to throw Jesus out, to throw God out. But God says, Jesus says, it'll come to an end. But know that as we swim in it, that we can swim with hope. Knowing that this is not the end of the story, because Jesus, our great Saviour, our great King, has a greater, glorious city to come. Know that as others swim in the same fishbowl, we can point them to the same irresistible hope we have. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us. Lord, it is feels so swimming around in circles some days, Lord. Life feels like that. And Lord, if it wasn't for you speaking into our world, we would not have hope. We may have a few fake things that could keep us distracted, but Lord, there'll be nothing beyond the grave, nothing beyond this world that could give us hope. So Lord, we thank you for the amazing grace, but Lord, we thank you so much that you speak. You're a speaking God that reveals to us. And Lord, as we read these words in Revelations, Lord, you are speaking to our hearts that we can swim with hope. And Lord, if we don't have hope this morning, then we can put our faith in you and put our trust in you, then we can swim then with hope because of you. Lord, help us to do this, we pray. Help us through the power of your Spirit do these things. We pray through Christ our Saviour. Amen. Just feel free to have a conversation.